T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Well, good morning, Portland. It's just about time to get your day started right here with Dusty and Cam on 10 AM. We'll get up and get started. It's time for Dusty and Cam. Just around 6, shower, shave, and coffee. It's time to get that sports fix. Bring a case of the Mondays, then there's Would You Rather, just a little bit of awkward. So tune in live today. It's Dusty and Cam.
Which one's crusty and which one's dusty?
My sports package is huge now.
Where are you at, brother?
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
I'm ready to crush your dreams in the morning.
Lighten up, Cam.
You don't even have a barn.
Would have built one just for you.
Yo, love you, dog.
I love you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
Good morning! Happy Monday to you, the 10th of August, 2020. Dusty Hera, Ryan Buckley with you on this beautiful Monday morning in the Rose City. How you doing, Buck?
Outstanding! It was a really nice weekend. It wasn't too hot, it wasn't too cold. Just right temperature is like the porridge for the third little bear, or the or Goldilocks's porridge.
That's right.
Yeah, it was just perfect. Got a lot done, got some work around the house done. Also managed to get out on the golf course. Also managed to get my Traeger back up in action. So good weekend.
Holy smokes. Yeah. Yeah, you had a great one.
It was solid, productive, and fun.
We talked about this on Friday. It was the first time in 6 weeks you did not have a Traeger.
Yeah, I did have a Traeger.
Correct, for the first time in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
How did it go?
It was great. I made a pork shoulder, did a little pulled pork. It was really good.
Awesome. Good for you. That does sound like a great weekend, Buck.
And it was one of those, like, even before we had the pulled pork, like just walking in and out of the back door and like smelling the wood pellet smell was just like so refreshing.
Just getting that bad boy fired up and rolling. It was a glorious weekend. This was the weekend that, like, you know, all the people from Southern California or like the desert or anywhere where it's hot, they come up here and visit. Usually, when it's not COVID times. And that was the weather where they're like, yeah, this is a great place to live. And then all of a sudden around November, they're going,
Why did we do this?
But it just showed you why Portland is great weather-wise. So we had one of those weekends. And I have another, I'm going golfing today, and it's going to be perfect golf weather today.
So am I.
About 85.
So am I.
Going to be perfect.
Where are you going?
Reserve.
Ooh, very nice.
Yeah. Where are you going?
I'm going to Eastmoreland.
Ooh,
first time.
Love that track. Eastmoreland. And this is, we were watching the PGA Championship over the weekend at my home. And, you know, my wife goes, that is a beautiful course.
It really is.
I said, that is city owned.
Muni.
I go, that's like the equivalent to if Eastmoreland were a championship style course. Because
think about that.
City owned courses, there they go. And that one is she's Butte Clark. The cypress trees right on the coastline. That's a thing of beauty,
man. That's the kind of iconic, peninsula golf look for Northern California is those cypress trees. Because you get them down at, like, around Pebble, too.
And we had the Conference of Champions, showing exactly why Bill Walton will call it the Conference of Champions, a majestic Pac-12 weekend, blowholes, whales, where's the beef, is exactly
there's really good stuff.
It was.
Blowholes, what could be better?
Nothing, Bill, nothing. Cal product, Colin Morikawa wins.
Yeah, so my dark horse, I was on the right track. I said on Thursday that it would be a dark horse, Max Homa, because he's a Cal product, knows the course well. Well, I just didn't pick the right Cal product.
Yeah, and Morikawa has been playing really well.
A lot better than Homa
just
had
was
been,
like,
yeah.
Okay, whatever. I knew it was going to be a long day for everybody else when Morikawa stepped up on the tee box and they introduced him. And there's no gallery at these events, right?
Right.
Nothing is being said. And they go, from the University of California, Colin Morikawa. And I hear a guy go, go Bears! And then another voice out of nowhere goes, go Bears! And I was like, yeah, he's got a gallery at this place because the only people allowed in are from San Francisco. He had people cheering for him.
Well, so did you hear or see the other unique no gallery event of the weekend? There was some guy hit a hole in one, couldn't see it go in, and a dude, there's one guy who's like an event official standing on the green, he's like, hey! And they're like, the guys on the tee box are like, did it go in? He's like, I don't think he would have reacted like that if it didn't. Yeah. And sure enough, it did. They're like, oh, I guess that's a hole in one. They fist bump all politely. It was great.
What a weird time to be around where it's just like, all right, if we're going to rely on one guy to be our, and then, you know, that guy was waiting there at the par three knowing like, this is my chance. I've got two things that I have to do. One, find any ball that goes just off of the green and into this ridiculous rough and make sure these guys know where their ball went.
Or
a hole in one. I'm the reaction.
I got to be the guy.
I'm that guy. And he was it for that. So we had PGA Championship this weekend. That was awesome. And that was a good thing. We have the Blazers over the weekend.
Mixed bag.
Oh, boy. And that is our P1 social today. Unpacking the Blazers weekend. We want to hear from you. Bright spots, biggest flaws. 503-250-1080 because we saw both of those things come to a head over the weekend. From an unbelievable performance from Damian Lillard yesterday, going for 51 points, 7 assists, and a win over the 76ers, to a loss against the shorthanded Clippers just the day before, where Los Angeles was doing everything they could to get the Blazers a win and really be the 8 seed today. If they win that game on Saturday, the Blazers are a half game up, not a half game behind the Memphis Grizzlies. They didn't play Paul George down the stretch. Pat Beverly was resting. Kawhi Leonard was resting. They didn't have three of their key cogs, and the Blazers still
they were
lost
up
that game.
Five with a minute 39 to go.
Could not close it out. So you had your ups, your downs. You had some smack talking on the internet. The internet remains undefeated because Pat Bev and Paul George were going at Dame, and he was having none of it on Saturday. So I want the good, the bad, and the ugly from the Blazers weekend. 503-250-1080. Unpacking the Blazers weekend. Bright spots, biggest flaws. That will be at 6:30. 7 o'clock, we will be joined by Bruce Barnum. He's the head football coach for the Portland State Vikings. What a weird time for Barney. This is a year where you're looking at Portland State football. Could it be one that Tate makes a big jump? They had one of the best recruiting classes in the country just a couple of years ago. They had like that season of growth last year as the season was going along. You were going, all right, where the Vikes going to be at come 2020? Boom. It all came to a screeching halt on Friday when the Big Sky announced that they were going to move their schedule to the spring. And we talked about the potential of that on Friday. The announcement came down just after the show ended on Friday morning. Yep. And Barney's going to join us at 7. It's going to be, I wonder how long it's been for Bruce Barnum that he has had a fall without football.
Ooh, maybe never?
Yeah, maybe never.
Honestly, maybe never.
I've talked to a lot of guys who are coaches that are saying like this is the first time since they were in elementary school that they will have a fall without football. Like, and that is wild to think of.
Very odd.
Where you're not involved in the game some way, shape, or form. Either you're coaching, you're playing, a ball boy in some cases, just being around the game, growing up, This has been a really long time. So want to get Barney's thoughts on how he's going to attack a season that where you're in the fall. What are you going to do? Is getting ready for a spring season. It's completely different, that ramp up to action. And then Barney's just a great guy to talk to. So he'll join us at 7 o'clock. We have new movements in the world of college football. It was not a good weekend if you want college football in the fall for the Power Fives. You had the first FBS conference come out and make the announcement over the weekend that they will not be playing in the fall. That is the MAC.
No MACtion.
No Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night MACtion on your TVs. But that could be the first domino to fall because we had a couple of big stories come out just yesterday. The Big Ten presidents had an emergency conference called to talk about whether or not it is a worthwhile effort to have a football season this fall. That is a massive one. And then the Power Five commissioners, they all had a conference call to discuss the same things. It's not looking good for college football. And this is something that we've seen coming, right? And it's not getting better. And now students are starting to arrive on campuses across the country and football programs are starting practices across the country. There's a growing concern that coupled with the hashtag We Are United front of the Pac-12 players, they have joined forces with the hashtag We Want to Play. The Power Five conferences have all, they can't align on a return to football in the fall. The players are though. And they're asking for a players association. This is something that the Pac-12, Big Ten, ACC, Big 12, and SEC, they all have representatives now. They're moving forward with a players association. And if that, there's a very important thing that we need to discuss in this, and we'll do this at 7:15. What's the difference between a players association and a players union? There is a difference, and there could be long-lasting ramifications.
That is significant, I believe.
It is. It is very significant. So we got a lot to get to. And then Kyle Bonagura, who covers the Pac-12 for ESPN, he's had a couple big stories about the Pac-12's return to play, and he's the one that broke the story of the Big Sky canceling their football. We talked about it on Friday because Thursday night, he's like, hey, I've been hearing they're having meetings. He wrote an article about it. We're going to talk to Bonagura about what he's hearing about the Pac-12 moving forward with the football season at 8 a.m. So we are locked and loaded. We got a big day. Oh, and then our Case of the Mondays, which, look, Case of the Mondays, let her rip, 503-250-1080. I haven't had any in a while. I got two. One includes the pungent smell of urine, and then the other is my favorite team is got to the point where I dislike them now.
Oh, yeah, so you finally come around.
Yeah, I love them, and I will always love them, but dear God, the Houston Astros are a dislikable team. They're
making it tough run, you know, are they?
There's plenty of reasons they've given me to make it tough over the last, oh, I don't know.
And they just don't stop.
No! Dear God. So I'm trying to come to terms with something that you rarely have to do as a sports fan, which is how do you love but hate your team at the same time?
No, God! No, God, please, no!
They're my Toby. They are my Toby. It's happening right in front of my very eyes. Holy crap. All right. Let's get this show on the road, though. 503-250-1080 is a fan text line. We've got a race for the playoffs in full swing in the NBA. Two teams have officially been eliminated in the Western Conference race, but it is a four-team logjam for that final spot. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
I feel like this song comes up twice as often as any other in our rotators. I don't know why.
That's a good point. Well, I think it's just it's such a memorable song, I guess.
Maybe,
it's just
but kind of bangs I a little different. Like, you know, we have a rotation of 100 songs, and I feel like this one
do
pops
really?
Up one every 25.
I would say that's a safe assessment. Yeah, it does feel like we get a lot of.
I mean, it's not supposed to. It's just supposed to cycle 1 through 100, but it feels like we get this one.
Hey,
a lot.
I'm not going to put it past you that you were putting a little extra on the third eye blind here, Buck.
Giving Mark McGrath a little extra love. No, it's not Mark McGrath.
No.
Who is it?
No.
What's that guy's name?
He's Sugar Ray.
Nah,
Mark McGrath
right,
is Sugar Ray. What happened to them? What happened to him?
I don't know. I think he went solo, right? He went to do his own thing.
That worked out. All right. NBA weekend. We saw the Blazers have a split over the weekend, and that'll be a part of our P1 social coming up in about 10 minutes from now. 503-250-1080, unpacking the Blazers weekend. What are the bright spots and the biggest flaws that you see for this Blazers team moving forward? Because as the bubble regular season, or the seeding games as they're calling them, is wrapping up, you're starting to see a more clear picture of how the West is shaking out. Now, look, seeds 2 through, I guess, 11 or 12, they're all up in the air right now in the Western Conference. You have the Clippers, who have a game lead over the Denver Nuggets in that 2-3 matchup. And then you have Houston, Oklahoma City, Utah, and Dallas all jockeying for position in that 3 through 7 on where that, or excuse me, 4 through 7 on where all of those teams kind of shuffle out and filter out. Dallas can't jump up to 4 or 5, really, but they can jump Utah. And this is a big game for Blazer fans. I'll explain it to you in a second, but Utah and Dallas do play today. And Dallas is 2 games back with 3 games to play. Okay.
2 games back of Utah.
Okay. With 3 games to play. And so if Utah wins this game today in a head to head, they can't jump the Utah Jazz, right? That is important because guess who the Blazers have coming up?
That would be Dallas.
There you go. So if they are locked into a 7 seed, they're going to be sitting there going, all right, what do we got to play for? If you can race and chase for 3, then you want to do that because you want to avoid at all costs the Clippers. You'd rather have the Clippers over the Nuggets, wouldn't you? Where Paul George, Patrick Beverley, Kawhi Leonard. You don't want to see that. And then Zubac up front, where that is a good matchup for Clippers against a Dallas team. Where it gets real hairy and where the hometown team comes into it is that 8 seed. Portland splitting over the weekend with a win over the 76ers and that just heartbreaker against the Clippers. Blazers now are a half game back of the Memphis Grizzlies, who they're back, I guess, to being okay. They won a game in the bubble so far.
Yeah, I'm not ready to give them too much credit just yet.
But they're holding on for dear life to that 8 seed where it was going to be monumental for them to blow it.
Right.
And
they still might.
They have the Celtics and Milwaukee down the final stretch.
Now, Milwaukee's clinched. We know that. Clinched the 1 seed.
Yep. But are they going to play guys just because you want to have, they would probably rest their second to last game over their last game. But then this is such an uncharted territory for, and everybody involved, is that we don't know what these teams or what these coaches are thinking. Because in the regular season, 82 games, you usually rest. And you'll see teams that have the 1 seed, they'll take the foot off the gas and say, all right, we're playing for something bigger and better. But when you have 4.5 months off, is that in your best interest? Is to sit there and be like, yeah, they played 6 or 7 games. Now we're going to take our foot off the gas. I don't think so, especially with the kind of inconsistencies that Milwaukee has shown over the course of this. So they've got 2 games that are up in the air. If Portland wins that game against the Clippers where they were up 5 with a couple minutes to play.
Gosh, that's tough to swallow still.
The Blazers have a half game lead, not a half game deficit in the Western Conference heading into these final 2.
And a reminder for everyone that in this play-in series, the team that is the 8 seed will only have to win 1 game, whereas the team that is in the 9 seed would have to win 2. So it would be a big boost if Portland could still get up to that 8 seed, which is still possible, but that's what makes Saturday's loss so significant.
And it also makes it significant because that would have been breathing room between the other 2 teams that just will not go away and are refusing to go away, because the Blazers have a half game lead over the San Antonio Spurs. And don't look now, the Phoenix Suns are still a part of this. They're still in the, like, Phoenix will not go away, and they have been a joke of a franchise, and they have been poorly run from ownership to their general manager. Remember when that goes, what, their president of basketball operations was
Ryan McDonough? Is that who it was?
I don't know. Was he the guy that put the goat in somebody's office?
Oh, no, that was Robert Sarver, I think. But anyhow, yeah, he was, that was odd.
The owner did that to McDonough's office or something?
I think that's the case, yeah.
Because they had a goat at an event for Diana Taurasi. They own the WNBA team, obviously. And so they had this goat at an event, and then he just goes and puts it in the office, and the goat, doing goat things, destroyed the office. Because goats poop and eat everything. They poop on everything and they eat everything. They've been a joke from their drafting to the way they've handled their organization. Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, those 2 guys have gotten this thing back on the rails. And if you know anything about Monty Williams, he is a guy you can pull for. He is a guy you can pull for from his time when he was here in a long time assistant for the Portland Trail Blazers to, you know, when he tragically lost his family as coach, I believe in New Orleans it was. This guy, his story is amazing as a person. I've never ran into anybody that has a bad thing to say about Monty Williams from his time here in Portland. And he's a guy that you can pull for as the head coach there, and he's got this thing heading on the right track and trending in the right direction. So that's an awesome thing to see. That it is an awesome turnaround. I didn't think it happened here, and especially in the bubble, because they were the last team invited, and everybody's going, why in the hell did they bring the Phoenix Suns? Well, this is why. They got a chance, man. They got a chance because they only sit, you know, a game behind Portland.
And, I mean, I think it's cool because a lot of – people thought it was stupid that they were bringing 22 teams to the bubble, thought that was too many, thought there were some teams on the outside. Like, I mean, you look at the Wizards in the Eastern Conference, and they probably should have been left at home. But I love that this team, who really had no shot when play got suspended, has given themselves a shot. And it's a lot of credit to Booker and, like you said, to Williams, too.
Well, put Portland in that category as well. They're 4-2.
Absolutely.
They are 4-2 in the bubble, and you know, they've given themselves a chance in every single game. Now, they have also allowed themselves to hand both of those games away. Boston, they were down by 24 points. They had a shot at the end to win that game. They lose by 4. And then the Clippers, they're up by 5. They're up by 5 down the stretch.
By 5 with 1:39 to play.
That thing goes away. And there's a lot to unpack with how that game played out against the Clippers. And then the most predictable thing ever, Damian Lillard just absolutely going off yesterday against the Philadelphia 76ers. From internet beef to a roller coaster of emotions and style of play and success on the floor, the Portland Trail Blazers go 1-1 in a back-to-back over the weekend, setting up a pivotal two-game stretch. Right now, they are in the play-in. No matter what happens over the last two games for all of these teams, there will be a play-in game for that eighth and final playoff spot. We know that. We know that is for certain. Just who will be playing in it? Memphis, Portland, San Antonio, and the Phoenix Suns. But the Blazers weekend, it went 1-1. Your thoughts, unpacking the bright spots and biggest flaws of this Blazers team that you've noticed in the bubble. Dusty and Cam, here's Buck with SportsCenter.
Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Went to the coast, we get together, have a few laughs.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text Dusty and Cam at 503-250-1080 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
All right, 503-250-1080. That is a Fan text line. Thank you for being a part of our morning. Let's get rolling with our P1 Social, the Portland Trail Blazers. Up and down roller coaster of a weekend. They suffer a setback 122-117 on Saturday at the hands of the Clippers, but pull off a 124-120 win over the Philadelphia 76ers yesterday, and let's unpack it. The Blazers weekend, the bright spots and the biggest flaws that we saw. I mean, it goes without saying that the Portland Trail Blazers had a prime opportunity to improve to 5-1 in the bubble this weekend.
They did, and boy, I watched all of that game on Saturday, and that was deflating. It looked like most of the time they had that thing in the bag, and then until they didn't.
And look, no Kawhi Leonard. We found out Kawhi Leonard was going to be scratched from the lineup early on Saturday morning. Patrick Beverley was going to be out for the Clippers as well. Like, the Blazers went into it knowing this was going to be a shorthanded Clippers team. And they looked the part. I mean, for most of the game, like, you're going, all right, hey, Portland ran out to an early lead. And then you sit there and you're like, all right, where's this thing going to go? They're just white knuckling it. And there's almost this sense as the game went on, and the second half especially, in the final 5 minutes when they
don't let it slip, don't let it slip, don't let it slip.
When they were, yeah, 100%, Ryan.
They tightened up.
It was akin to, you have a team in football where you're going, all right, they're just going to try and run the ball and hope their defense can save them. Just hope the defense can save them. The offense was clunky,
stagnant,
no ball movement, yep, settling for bad shots down the stretch. And that wasn't like everybody will point to those final, you know, 2 minutes or the minute and a half. You said what? They were up five with 1:39 to play.
Yeah.
And everybody will look to that 1:39. Like, it started before that. It started when Paul George mm-hmm. went to the bench and it was like, oh, the Clippers are waving the white flag. And this goes back to those guys on the floor aren't waving the white flag.
And there were some mental mistakes too. I know that it was right around that 1:39 mark that CJ had an off the ball foul. It wasn't even inbounded, they got to go to the free throw line and start that kind of late five point comeback. But so yeah, you had things kind of slowing down on offense, seeming like you said, clunky or stagnant. And then on top of it, a few mental errors, Nurk with a big turnover as well. And then, of course, Damian being as uncharacteristic as we've seen him both at the free throw line and from 3-point range, unable to close the deal.
But those games happen. And this is one of those things where you go, all right, you're a team that was vying for the 8 seed. Inconsistencies will happen and you can only rely on your star for so long. As much as we want to sit there and we want to say that the best players in the game always, always put on that A+ performance every single night, there's a reason why the Lakers lose a game when LeBron isn't on and LeBron isn't closing, right? In big moments and crucial situations, like, those guys always come through. But there's an element too, like, hey, can we blame anybody else besides Damian Lillard for missing a couple of free throws there, right? How about Nurk, which with that 1 foot kind of leaner falling away where you're going, what was that possession?
Yeah, he's trying to put up a Dirk jumper there or
and
something.
I think even Stan Van Gundy on the TNT broadcast was like, that was a bad shot. Like,
yeah,
that was a bad possession by the Portland Trailblazers. And there were consecutive ones, three in a row, where you sat there and they left the door wide open. And Lillard missed a couple free throws. And it was a hell of a thing because 89% free throw shooter, right? But how about the 27% 3-point shooters, the guy who knocked down the three that gave him the lead?
Things absolutely, you were unlucky in that game as well. I mean, the stats, like you said, those two specifically would indicate that in that position, with that time left, in that spot, you would love your chances where you were, but they broke the wrong way.
Text 503-250-1080. Look, the Blazers weekend, Blazers choked versus a bench squad and only beat a bench squad by three. Not great. 100%. Because of the fact that you had a 76ers team yesterday without Ben Simmons, who left the bubbles going back and getting knee surgery. And then Joel Embiid, you talk about freak accident.
That was weird.
6 minutes into the game, Embiid goes and he kind of just... he's watching the play as he's kind of gathering himself under the hoop and he gets his foot caught under the stanchion and rolled his ankle.
Yeah, he kind of stumbled into a little bit of a back pedal, but he had his feet underneath him and he just, it's like his back heel when the ball was on the front of his foot, like caught on the stanchion there and just kind of rolled over. It was very, very odd.
So you had those two games right there where, you know, two teams that are very shorthanded, right? But I mean, catching a break, Kawhi Leonard doesn't play at all. Paul George doesn't play most of the fourth quarter. You've got Embiid plays 6 minutes. Ben Simmons out. You know, that's like four stars in pivotal stretches gone in NBA games. You sit there and you go, that is prime for the Blazers to win. And that's why the weekend is kind of a letdown, but they salvaged that 1-1 record in it. And I think that also goes to show you kind of how far away the Blazers roster is from being one of those quote unquote contending teams, right? Because you had to rely on Dame going like vintage Dame, 51 points, 7 assists, and they needed every single one of those buckets from Dame to pull off that win against Philly.
Yeah, I think it was only about 5 days ago that I'm like, man, the way this team is rolling, they could beat the Lakers if the Lakers can't shoot the three. And then I see them with these opportunities against teams that don't have their superstars, and when the Blazers do have their full complement of superstars, it's still this tough, maybe an indicator that they're not quite there yet.
Yeah, but we knew that heading in because, I mean...
But then they gave me like a renewed... I'm like, when I saw the way that Nurk and Gary Trent Jr. were playing, I'm like, okay, this is a different team than we've seen before. And it was, but it's still maybe not going to be enough.
Yeah, and this text says Gary Trent went off again on Saturday. He's been the best player outside of Dame and Nurk, no doubt about it. Like, and he was consistent, but yet Sunday... he did come back down to earth, but this is kind of where you sit there and recalibration, right, of the way that you think about it. Not everybody's going to be hot on every single night. Can you find a way to win? And that is the refreshing part about what happened yesterday against Philly. Gary Trent Jr. did not have one of the games that we've come accustomed to seeing, and the Blazers still found a way without bench scoring again, right? Mario Hezonja was the leading scorer on the bench. And this is where the issue comes, and this is where the issue lies with Portland, is that depth is going to be the problem. And that's where you sit there and you look at how far away are they. Well, the Clippers have those guys that are just more consistent, like a step up more consistent, two steps up more consistent as your depth. The Blazers are seven. And one of those guys was gone. Hassan Whiteside with a hip injury. Mm-hmm. That is concerning. And now, is that a definite hip injury, or is this maybe, you know, a hip injury to go along with a dissatisfaction on minutes and what he's being played? You know, is that what's leading to what? I mean, he hasn't said anything to the contrary, and I've been really impressed, and I've said it, with how Hassan Whiteside has handled himself through this. Mm-hmm. You know, being relegated to the bench and Collins and Nurk coming back. But he has a hip injury that's kind of it's like a little pinch in his hip. And that's, you need depth, especially your big guys getting foul trouble like Nurk and Collins did yesterday.
And that's just the thing. It's not so much that you are going to miss the tangible contributions of Whiteside. I mean, you can find his points or his rebounds maybe elsewhere, but it's the depth. It's the minutes. I mean, would you feel comfortable putting Wenyen Gabriel on the floor? I wouldn't think so. I mean, you haven't yet. And if you really don't have him as a backup for Nurk and Zach, and you, like, if they get into foul trouble, they were already thin, and if he truly can't go, then that makes things tougher from that standpoint.
Gary Trent Jr., though, going back to that texter's point, he went off on Saturday, 6 of 10 from three in that first half. What, he had 4 3-pointers. You know, his dad, Gary Trent Sr., was 4 of 50 in his career from beyond the arc.
That is awful. That's terrible.
It is. It is, but he's a completely different player.
I know, but you shouldn't be shooting 50 of them if you're only going to make four.
But that's a career. That's a career.
So, like, I mean, please tell me that like 80% of them are half court heaves at the buzzer.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but he wasn't a sharpshooter. That's for damn sure. But it is.
Do you know
so
what percentage
awesome
that is for his career from three?
No.
8% from 3-point range. Stop shooting them.
Look,
sorry, I'm hung up on this 4 for 50 here. Hold on,
we call baseball. Yeah, well, you should.
That is not great.
We call baseball the sport where, like, if you go 1 for 3, you're a Hall of Famer. Like, this is bad. This is below the Mendoza line in baseball, where it's like
way below
8%. But again, different time in the NBA, and that's over his entire career. And there's a reason why he didn't shoot more than 50 over his career, because he was an 8% shooter. But Gary Trent Jr. has been one of the bubble busters, and he's been a guy whose breakout performance, it's been highlighted not just here locally, but people are catching on to Gary Trent Jr. The Blazers may have found a steal in that second. Well, no, they may. It's not a may. They have found a steal in that second round. And with Gary Trent Jr. kind of emerging the way that he is, those are the kind of guys you need to come off. That he's making himself a hell of a lot of money, too, if he can keep this up. But having those types of guys that can come off the bench for you or can eventually become a starter, it's just depth, man. And I understand, like, you watch Gary Trent Jr. and you're like, that guy is a guy who should be a starter and could be a starter in this league, and they should do anything they can. But it's also a luxury, and great teams have guys like Trent coming off the bench, right?
He went 1 for 6 from three yesterday. Not great.
No.
You know what he's still shooting in the bubble?
Huh.
56.9% from three. I mean, that is, I mean, he could go 0 for a couple more and maybe still finish as the best 3-point shooter in the bubble this time around, right? I mean, no one came to this Orlando setting hotter than him, and credit to him. I don't know what he did in his 4 months off, but he looks like he wasn't doing this before. And so I think, you know, there are guys who saw opportunities for themselves. You know, we talked a little bit about TJ Warren on Friday. I mean, there are people who thought, this is my time. And for Gary Trent Jr., it has been. And I hope this is a step in him being a key piece for the franchise.
Yeah, and reliable. Like, reliability is something that this Blazers bench has been missing for, I mean, look, I can't remember the last time that I can sit there and I can definitively say, yeah, that was a bench that you could lean on, right? That was you had guys night and night, you knew what you were going to get. And if you have just one of them, that goes a long way in games like they had yesterday against the Philadelphia 76ers, where his shooting may not have been what kept the Blazers around. it could have been his defense. Like his this texture points out his defense, 3 and D. That is what everybody's looking for in the league, and they've got one. He may be 6'6", but they got a 3 and D guy.
And how about him mixing it up with Paul George? It's like he's a guy that you want out there. He's got the grit too.
Unpacking the Blazers weekend's bright spots, biggest flaws, 503-250-1080. Will they finish with the 8 seed in these seeding games? They've got two games to play, just a half game back of the Memphis Grizzlies. This is Dusty and Cam on 1080 The Fan.
Look, there's that was a team loss yesterday, and obviously Dame missed his free throws, but I don't think anybody thinks anything less of Dame. He missed a couple free throws. Tonight, he just showed his determination, will they showed throughout his career.
Terry Stotts following the Blazers win over the 76ers yesterday at 124-121. Damian Lillard misses a pair of three free throws late in the loss to the Clippers, which could have potentially tied and then given the Blazers a one-point lead in the final minute against the Clippers on Saturday. It is rare when Damian Lillard misses free throws. He is an 89% career free throw shooter, the model of consistency down the stretch. And look, he heard it from Patrick Beverley. He heard it from Paul George.
He sure did.
It was something where they were John on the bench. Like Paul George almost jumped over the little reader board thing to come talk smack at Dame after he missed the free throws.
While Patrick Beverley was falling out of his chair laughing.
But what that led to was, of course, the chirping continues, and it went to social media after the game. And Patrick Beverley had tweeted out, or I think on Instagram, was it?
Yeah, IG comment.
Patrick Beverley said Cancun on three. And then Paul George said, and you get sent home this year, and said respect. It was shots at Dame. They were shots at Dame for, you know, the wave goodbye. And obviously he hit that shot in Paul George's face. Paul George called it a bad shot. And Dame responded after that OKC series with, I practiced that shot. Then they put out the film of him practicing that shot before games earlier in that series. Damian Lillard responded to Paul George that said, keep switching teams, running from the grind. You boys is chumps. Which when that pops up on Saturday evening, I went, okay, I feel bad for the Sixers because we know what's coming from Dame. And what came from Dame in the very next game on Sunday was a 50 burger. He puts up 51 points on 16 of 28 shooting, 7 assists and 3 rebounds. And this is a guy that us as fans weren't surprised by it. He wasn't surprised by it either.
After the game, I was irritated with myself. I was frustrated, you know, but it is what it is. I talked with one of my best friends, and he was just like, you know, this happened for a reason. You've had a lot of big moments, and you usually come up, you know, on top, or it's Dame time or something like that. So you got to expect there to be some type of balance. You got to expect that sometimes you're going to have to respond to some type of adversity, or you're going to have to come up short. And that was my thinking after it happened anyway. I was like, I didn't step up there and miss because I was worried. I just missed. And after I talked to him, you know, I had a few people just text me. My fiance text me, and we just kind of talked about it. And she was just like, you know, I was surprised.
His fiance, which is being confused. Some people believe he said Beyonce, which he does not. I think he clearly says my fiance, right?
I think he's definitely saying my fiance, but he might know Beyonce. They're both in music.
True. But even she was surprised. And I think we all were just like, okay, after he missed the first one, I was like, all right, he's got number two. Like Dame doesn't miss two in a row. Wow. He missed two in a row. And it's not the first time he's done that this year. And it won't be the last time he does it in his career. But the reality of it is, and we had a texter earlier say the bench squad thing, you know, Paul George wasn't playing. Kawhi Leonard wasn't playing. And I should say Paul George not playing down the stretch of that game. Kawhi didn't play at all. Pat Bev did not play at all in that game. And that is where you could sit there and you can point to a lot of different directions with that Blazers team on Saturday as the reason why they didn't win that game. The offense looked horrific the last, 5 minutes of the game, especially the last 2 minutes where they look like a football team running the ball to try and white knuckle it to a victory, when that's how you can lose games. And that's how the Blazers did lose games. They were up 5 with a minute and a half to play, and they went into conservative mode and they settled for terrible shots, and they had a lot of mental errors in that game.
Yeah,
and I think it's really important. You pointed this out earlier, Buck, is that CJ McCollum with the foul before the inbound.
Yeah.
Like, those sorts of things are not conducive to winning basketball games.
And obviously no one's trying to make errors like that, but they just tightened up down the stretch. They made one too many slip ups and it came back to bite them. And honestly, after Dame missed those two free throws, I thought if he gets another shot at this, he's at least going to tie the game. And he had another clean look. I thought that three was going to go down. Almost did.
I saw a stat prior to yesterday's game that Damian Lillard isn't just scoring over 30 a game. He is second in the bubble in assists. And he added 7 with his 51-point performance yesterday. Like, he is playing at an incredible clip and an insane level of basketball. But his assist numbers are up, and it's credit to guys like Gary Trent Jr., who were knocking down shots on the perimeter, waiting for their kickouts. Carmelo Anthony has been huge. The pick-and-roll game with Yusuf Nurkic, it has been on point for the Blazers in the offensive role. It wasn't on Saturday, and it wasn't on Sunday. Look, can we also acknowledge this? Like, everybody's talking about missed shots and missed opportunities, but on the defensive end as well. Yesterday, the defense was horrific at times, whether it was, you know, eliminating second chance opportunities, or it was an inability to just defend on the perimeter, and how many easy bunnies were given. It was brutal yesterday on the defensive end.
And, well, listen, no one's discounting how tough it is to defend anyone in the NBA, but like, who are the people actually scoring on them yesterday? It wasn't Simmons and Embiid. I mean, there weren't as many scorers out there for a team that usually has plenty of options. And the fact that the defensive effort, as you mentioned, was seemingly so poor at times against not such difficult opponents.
Yep. From P1 Eric says, the fans who want to complain we lost to benches, like Dame said, those are trap games. Everyone is a pro player and is really good, and those bench guys are waiting for a game like that to prove that they belong and can get minutes. 100%. And you can see it kind of with that lull when Paul George went out. It was like the Blazers were like, all right, we got this. And they lulled the Blazers into a false sense of security there. And hey, that bench squad that the Clippers rolled out, they won that game. The Blazers did just as much to lose it, but they won that game. As it is, the Blazers are just a half game back, though, of the final playoff spot from the Memphis Grizzlies. And this is huge. You're a half game back, and this is where the advantage of what the NBA wanted. They wanted drama coming down the stretch. The Blazers have a great opportunity to jump Memphis and have the advantage. If you are the 8 seed, you only have to win one of 2 games. If you are the 9 seed and you are coming into that game, you have to win twice. And the Blazers, Memphis has imploded. They're now 1-5 in the bubble. But the Blazers have closed that gap, and they are getting closer and closer to it. They could have the advantage by the time this is all said and done. Blazers are off today. They resume action tomorrow against the Dallas Mavericks. All right, let's talk some college football. It is a pivotal time in college football, folks. We have got presidents, chancellors, athletic directors, and commissioners all meeting over the weekend and really late into the hours yesterday, and they will continue meeting today about a college football season and what it could look like. One thing that we do know is that the Big Sky has pushed their season to the spring. Let's catch up with Bruce Barnum. He is the head coach of the Portland State Vikings. Barney will join us about, you know, just talk football off season and how do you attack a season in which you have a pandemic that has shut you down until the spring. You have some states that are playing high school football. Some states are going to be playing at the exact same time. How does recruiting look? And what is this Barney's first fall since when without a football season? Bruce Barnum, head coach of the Portland State Vikings, joins us next. This is Dusty and Cam on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.